Ezekiel chapter number 1. I don't have my notes, but I know where we're going. All right, I know where we're headed. Junior church, you can be dismissed. Anyone heading back to junior church, you can head there and enjoy your time there. Ezekiel chapter 1, I did go and preach to the young people at their retreat. And I keep telling Pastor Aaron, listen, you don't have to have me come preach, you know, have somebody else handle it there. And he says, no, I want you to come and preach. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll go yell at the kids. I can do that. That I can do. And so I actually preached this message yesterday to the young people. And so that was the young people version. This is going to be the adult version. All right. So that's not to say that I'm bringing kids stuff to you. It's meaning that there are things in the Bible that can address every age in the Bible. So Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to start just reading verse number 3, chapter 1 in verse number 3, and we'll start here, and then we'll go into chapter 2 and 3 and look at a couple different things here. But verse number 3, the Bible says this. It says, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And here is Ezekiel. We don't know much about him before this, but we understand that God came to Ezekiel, and God had something for Ezekiel to do. God wanted Ezekiel to accomplish something for him. And so here, God comes to him and he speaks expressly to Ezekiel. And that's really how God operates. Is this morning, I'm going to preach a message to everyone that's here. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can individually speak to your heart about things that he has for you in your life. And so there is no possible way that I could stand up here and, first of all, remember everything that might be going on in everybody's life and then try to preach a message that could be tailored to individual specific things of people and what's going on. God can do all of that. God, because God is an individual God. God speaks to you. God has something for you, as God did for Ezekiel. And so when the Bible says that God came and the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the Lord has something specifically for you this morning. And I hope you're ready to receive it. I hope you didn't just come so you felt good about being in church this morning. I hope you came because the Lord has something for you to strengthen you and to encourage you and to embolden you and to maybe the Lord just wants to kind of knock on your heart and remind you of some things. I don't know what the Lord has for you this morning, but the Lord has something for you. And the Bible says at the end of that verse here, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord being in my life through salvation. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord, the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit has been in my life. And the hand of the Lord to say, I have something for you, I desire something for you, and here is my hand to show you and direct you. Sometimes that hand is, swat me on the tail a little bit to get me moving. Sometimes that hand is placed on my shoulder to let me know he cares for me and loves me. And sometimes that hand is like this saying, hey, where are you going? Because it needs to get my attention a little bit. I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord in my life. And the Bible says here that the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Now, how the Lord comes and deals with us individually and who we are as individuals, of course, is different. But the Lord comes through the Bible and speaks to all kinds of individuals. He comes to Ezra here, and we see in verse 3 that Ezra was a priest. All right, so we see here, oh, well, of course the Lord would speak to Ezra. He's a priest. Isn't he supposed to be doing religious stuff? So of course God's going to come and speak to him, and God's going to have something for him. Well, if you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out that the Lord had something extra for Ezekiel. Even if you read just chapter number one, and you start seeing these beasts, these cherubs that God starts to describe, and they have four different faces, and they got these wings, and you're going, what in the world is this, right? I mean, I can't imagine the Lord comes to Ezekiel and then starts to show him these images, and Ezekiel's going, what is happening right now? But God came to Ezekiel, and God spoke to Ezekiel, and God had something for Ezekiel. God comes to Jeremiah, the prophet, that we know him as Jeremiah the prophet. A great prophet in the Bible, when Jesus Christ comes to his disciples and says, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. Some say that they were naming these names of these great Old Testament prophets. And God comes to Jeremiah and says, hey, I have something for you to do. And Jeremiah says, I'm just a child. And God says, don't worry about that. I'm coming. I have something for you to do for me. Even though he was just a child, the Lord comes to Daniel. Daniel is also another young person. But Daniel was a teenage slave in Babylon and made a eunuch by the powers that be that were over him. And here comes Daniel, and the Lord says, Daniel, I have something for you. I have something for you to do. The Lord comes to Amos, one of the smaller prophets, to the right of Ezekiel, and he comes to Amos and he says, all right, Amos. And Amos says, I'm just a shepherd. I'm nobody here. I'm just a shepherd. He comes to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses is out there on the backside of the desert watching over some sheep. Moses is 80 years old. Say, oh, well, the Lord can't have anything for me to do. 80 years old is pretty old by older people's standards. All right, 80's up there, right? So I have to say that a little more cautiously than I could to the teenagers, right? Because of the crowd. But 80's old by pretty much anyone's standards. And the Lord said, hey, I have something for you, Moses. I have something for you to do, Moses. God comes. God has something for everybody this morning. God has something that he desires for everyone to do this morning, something to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. And and God comes to Ezekiel, and he speaks to him. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into, I'll show you how God spoke to him. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Lord, I pray that you would bless now this morning. I pray that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. Lord, that we would be able to meet together here, hear from your word, and we would know that when we walk out the doors, Lord, to go to lunch, to do what we're going to do this afternoon, Lord, that we would know when we leave here that you did speak to us. And it was more than just my voice, but it was, Lord, it was you impressing upon their hearts. And Lord, I ask that you would do only what you can do. Lord, that you would bless all things here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel chapter 2. The Lord shows him this great vision. And at the end of Ezekiel 1, in verse number 28, Ezekiel finds himself on his face before God. He finds himself down alone before God because he had seen this vision that God had given him, and he had seen a vision of the throne and he that sits on the throne. And he had seen this vision of God, and he had humbled himself and put himself on his face before the Lord. And in chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, and he said unto me, Ezekiel, of course, talking about the Lord, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Stand upon thy feet. Like I said, Ezekiel was on his face before God, and the Lord says, all right, now I have something to say to you, and I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up because I have something important to tell you. And that's the first thing he told him to do, was to stand. It was to stand. and to stand and to be ready to receive what the Lord has is something that you and I do, not physically. You're sitting now, but it's in a state of our mind. It's a preparation of our heart to be ready to hear what the Lord has. To stand, to get up, to be ready, to be attentive to the Word of God. And, you know, when we're laying down on the couch, men, and your wife reminds you of the yard work you said you were going to do, you don't appear to be ready when you're laying down snoozing on the couch. All right? If we said, okay, all right, let's have, we're going to go out here and we're gonna do something out here in the parking lot of the church, and there's gonna be a monetary reward for the winner. All right, you know what would happen? Some of you would stand up and you would be ready for that, right? You'd say, "Okay, let's do this. What are we doing? We fighting each other? Are we playing rock paper scissors? What are we doing for the money?" But there would be a standing up, a recognition of we're preparing ourselves, we're getting ready for this, and. As Christians, we need to be ready. Amen. We need to be ready. We need to have our minds and our hearts standing. You in the military understand, standing at attention, ready for the command of the Lord, not knowing what it's going to be, but willing to stand and say, okay, I'm ready. I mean, we could talk, the Bible talks about standing as far as standing on the truth. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God and to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are we doing? We're to be standing. We're to be ready. One of David's mighty men, the Philistines are coming, and he's standing there in a field of beans. Literally, standing in a field of beans, and everyone else leaves. You know what the Bible says? Yes, he stood and he fought the Philistines that came. He was ready. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't, you know, laying under the green beans in the fetal position. He was standing ready for the foe to come. There's some standing that you and I need to do, and you and I need to be ready to do. We need to be standing for the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, I understand we can be weak and we can be tired and we can be going through things in this life. And there are times when the Lord gives us rest where we can sit and we can rest in the Lord. There are those times. But in our life daily, when we get out of bed and put our feet on the floor in the morning, we should be ready to stand up and say, okay, Lord, it's a new day. Thank you for today. And what might you have for me today, Lord? That's an attitude of the heart. And he tells Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel, stand. Come on, stand. Stand up. Be ready. And you and I need to be there. We need to also be able to stand on our own two feet. There are some Christians that the only way that they can ever stand for the Lord is if they have their friend beside them. The only way they can stand for the Lord is when they're in church and everyone else is standing for the Lord. There's some Christians where they don't stand on their own two feet well for the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. The only Bible and the only relationship with the Lord is propped up by what the preacher says. And by what? By our family that is our Christians. And that's the only, as Christians, we need to stand. We need to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to try to stand on my own two feet, and I have a desire to do what you want of me. We need to learn how to do that. We need to learn to stand, and we need to know what we believe about the Bible as Christians. Because we're not always going to be standing beside each other. When we go to work tomorrow, when we're at family dinner at the holidays, we're not going to have everybody around us to be able to help us out and where we can, hey, me and you, let's talk to this person. You're not always going to have that. You're going to have to learn how to stand on your own two feet when the people, if you make any type of claim at all to be a Christian and to be saved and be born again, people are going to ask questions eventually. And you need to be able to stand on your own two feet to say, this is what I believe about the Bible. This is what I believe about salvation. Well, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. And someone says, well, yeah, what's this whole thing? I mean, I just have to be a good person to go to heaven, right? And let me tell you, that's the wrong answer. It's not just to be a good person. It's because of what Jesus Christ did for us. In spite of us being a good person. In spite of us doing our best attempts. Our best attempts are failures to obtain under the righteousness of God. But someone's going to ask. Because listen, this world, they don't know anything about God. We live in a world now that doesn't know anything. I mean, Christian just means Christian, right? No. No, there's all kinds of stuff, and then there's the Bible. But we need to stand on our own feet. You need to learn how to stand on your feet. What's the Bible have to say about baptism? What's the Bible have to say about creation? What's the Bible have to say about the rapture? The what? Exactly. I'm not getting on you this morning. I'm just saying, Lord, help me to stand. Right? Should be our attitude. And to learn and to understand. Why do you go down to that Faith Baptist church? What's the difference between this church and that other church? You never know. You get asked some questions at the craziest of times. My wife and I and my children, we were crossing over the border to go into Canada. This is a few years ago. And we were going into Canada. We were going up to Montreal, and I was going to be preaching up there and seeing some friends. And we were going to Montreal, and we had forgotten the kids' birth certificates. All right? So what we had done then is we had someone take pictures of the birth certificates and then send them to us, and we print them out so that we could hope to be like, you know, fingers crossed, you know, to get into Canada. And so here we are, and this guy's, you know, looking at everybody, and I'm like, we don't have the exact right paperwork. And actually, it was easier to get into Canada. This is going to sound like a shock, than it was to get back in the United States. The lady, and it all, the lady that I got coming back in the United States was like, well, why'd you forget the birth certificates? Well, if I had that answer, I wouldn't have forgot the birth certificates. All right, lady? You can't keep me from... I live here, okay? You might not like me, but I live here. And so we get to go, what are you doing going into Canada? Why are you coming? And I said, well, I'm going up to preach in a Baptist church up here. And he's looking at us, and I'm like, oh, please, don't give us any problems. We just want to get in, you know, and ask my kids questions. You never know what they're going to say, you know. I don't know. He picked us up, and we're just coming along. Oh, my goodness. You know, they have no idea when their birthdays are. They have no idea who their parents are. They're asking them questions. Yes, they're my kids. I forgot the birth certificates. They're dumb. I'm dumb. It's all working. You can see how this is all going together here. And the guy says, oh, you're going up to a Baptist church. He goes, what's the difference between a Baptist church and a Catholic church? And I'm thinking, I want to get in to the country. So what do I do here? How do I tread lightly? And I was just gave a simple answer about how, at least the independent Baptist churches that I'm associated with, at least we try to live according to the Word of God and less tradition of man. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ and not the good works that man would expect us to do. Can I get in? Right? And so, but you never know when you're going to get asked a question. Why do you go to that church? What's different about that church than this other church? And what do we need to be able to stand on our own two feet. We need to be able to say, Lord, help me to stand on my own two feet. All right, well, here's what else he tells Ezekiel, chapter 2. Look in verse number 6. Chapter 2 and verse 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. That doesn't sound fun. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. He tells Ezekiel, and listen, I'm skipping some of these verses because the calling for Ezekiel was very specific to Ezekiel. The calling that God gave to Ezekiel is probably not the calling that God's going to give to you. It's not going to be the same thing that he has Ezekiel to do as he has for you to do. The same thing as this morning, he's asked me to stand up here and talk, and for you at the moment to sit and listen, right? He's called me to be the pastor and you not to be the pastor currently. All right, so the calling is not the same for all of us. But God does have something to say to us. He is trying to call out unto us and say something to us. And he has something for us to do. All right, so he says to Ezekiel, he says, hey, stand up. And then secondly, he says, be not afraid. Amen. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, this might appeal to you or this might not appeal to you, but to be a Christian and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and age and going forward is going to take a little bit of fortitude. Yeah. It's going to take some guts. It's going to take some backbone. Why? Because you'll realize when you take a stand for Christ that you don't always get a friendly response. You realize if you've ever tried to stand up and be a Christian, ever declare yourself to be a Christian and what you believe, you'll find that there are people that are against you. They are adversaries against you for what you believe. And you take that in the neck a couple times and you think, I don't want to do this. Why? Well, because I don't like it. And you become afraid of a response, and we become fearful. We become fearful. We can, as Christians, you can be fearful of being different. I just kind of want to like fit in. I don't want to be the one that always stands out. I don't want to be the one that's always different. Well, when you live for the Lord, you'll find out you're usually different. And I don't mean that in any kind of way, right? I don't mean that you're weird. I mean, some of you maybe, but not all of you. All right? But when we stand for the Lord, when we do something for the Lord, when you say something for the Lord, you'll find out you're in the minority. You're different. And the more the Lord works on your heart to get rid of sin, and the more the Lord works on your heart to clean up and to figure out what comes out of your mouth and what you put into your eyes and what you put into your ears and the thoughts that go on in your mind, when the Lord starts to deal with you individually and you start to grow in the Lord, and you say, Lord, help me to take a stand whenever you want me to, and you start to realize, I just don't think like they think. Say, how do you know? I don't know. I don't advise it. But if you happen to accidentally turn on the news, you'll realize you don't think like other people think. If you're trying to put the word of God into your mind and you're trying to think like God would want you to think to please the Lord, you'll realize what a lot of these people are saying and thinking about all these things going on, all this insanity in the world. You'll say, boy, my mind just can't get there. I just can't get on board with that. And you'll find that those that are thinking completely opposite of you are often the loudest. And if you're not careful, you'll be like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here. It's like one time when I was on the airplane and I was coming back to Seattle. And this was in 2021. And everyone still had to have face coverings and everything on the airplanes. And mine was down here-ish because I wanted to breathe. And I'm on my way back to Seattle, and I'm sitting beside a gentleman over here and a lady over here and just going, oh, hey, yeah, it's good. You know, kind of a little small talk before the plane takes off. You know, you kind of feel it out if you actually want to have conversations or not. You know, everyone's kind of doing that awkward thing. And all of a sudden, I found out that the people beside me were very much pro everything that they were being told. And I was like, oh, boy. You know what I was thinking? Don't ask. Don't ask. Just look straight ahead. Don't ask me. Don't ask any questions. Here comes the stewardess. Don't ask any questions. Right? Why? Because it was just going to be, could potentially have been any perceived answer to be confrontational, right? And so sometimes we just think when it comes to the Lord, if we're not careful, we can just say, don't ask, don't ask. Wow, we can get fearful. We can be fearful. You're fearful of people saying things, fearful of not having all the right answers, fearful of living by faith. What does that mean? That means taking the next step that the Lord wants you to take, although you can't see all the way down to the end of the road? I mean, we think we got lives figured out. Well, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to do this, and I have a house, and I have to pay the bills, and I'm going to do it, and we're going to go this way, and I can see where I'm headed. And when you think that, although we don't know, we just have this idea. But living by faith sometimes means we know what the Lord wants us to do right here. I know this much. And then the Lord says, okay, take this other step. Okay, but we can't see down the road. We don't know what that means. And sometimes you and I, we can be fearful. We can be fearful of that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The Lord says to Ezekiel, be not afraid. Be not afraid. He says, stand up, Ezekiel. Don't be afraid. And then he says this, thirdly, look in chapter 2, verse number 7. Chapter 2, verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. The Lord says, all right, stand up, Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, don't be afraid. Ezekiel, speak. Speak my words. Speak my words. See, as a Christian, often the Holy Spirit of God wants to use you, and we don't get to be afraid and sit back and say, don't ask. Don't say anything. Just get by, hide. No, the Lord has something for us to do. And he says, speak my words. Speak my words. The Lord has something for you to do, and that's often to speak up for Christ. Amen. It's to speak up for Christ. If you work a job, you'll have an opportunity to speak up for Christ. You'll have an opportunity to say, yeah, but the Bible says, say, I could never do that. You could. You could. The Lord says, hey, speak up. Speak up. Speak my words, Ezekiel. Speak my words. As a Christian, amongst other Christians, you'll have a chance to speak up. You know what? This sounds like gossip. We shouldn't do this. Say, wow, you would really say that to other Christians? Yeah, don't come and gossip to me. Because I might say, you know what? This sounds like we shouldn't do this. Why? Because we shouldn't do it. You'll have a chance amongst other Christians to speak up for the Lord and speak up for Christ. Speaking up, speak my words. What are those words? Those are true words. Those are right words. Those are holy words. Those are pure words. You know what the words of God do? The words of God change lives. He says to Ezekiel, whether they're going to hear you or not hear you, speak my words. Because you know what God does? When you speak for God, you can't make up people's minds. You can't make people listen. You can't make people obey God's words. That's between them and God. But you can speak up for the Lord. You can say something for Christ. You can say, listen, I'm a Christian and I can't be a part of this conversation. Amen. You say, listen, I've heard some of that before, but the Bible says this. And to be able to speak up true and right words for Christ. Why? Because God's words are life-changing. Amen. The gospel can change somebody's life. Amen. Remember your life before the gospel? Remember your life before getting saved? You might not have been the worst of the worst. But boy, the uncertainty, and now you know the certainty of where you were headed without Jesus Christ. And the eternity and the wrath of God that was determined on your life without Christ, that was there whether you're aware of it or not. And then you understood the gospel, and then if you got saved, and boy, life changed, eternity changed for you because of the gospel. And giving the words of the gospel is speaking my words. You know what encouragement can do for people? An encouraging word from you can change somebody's life. You don't always know what people are going through. You don't always know where people are in their minds and what's happening. You don't always know what an encouraging word for somebody, for another Christian or for somebody else, just an encouraging word could do for somebody. But what do we have to speak? Speak. Just like if you might be trying to train a pet or something, you know, and you want to get it to speak for a treat. I feel like that's what the Lord does for us sometimes. Speak. Come on. Speak. I'm sitting there. Yeah. The Lord's like, come on. But that's what the Lord has something for you to say. I'll say this quickly. If you're going to speak for the Lord, you should probably know what the Lord says about it. There's a lot of people willing to open their mouths. There's a lot of people willing to say stuff. Well, this is what I think. This is what I think God's like. That's going on all over the place this morning. Well, this is what we think God's like. But you open up God's word and you read God's word and you go, oh, that's what God's like? God has an opinion on everything. We think God has an opinion on like big religious stuff, and then everything else in our lives God wouldn't care about. It's just, yeah, God has an opinion about that, but over here, all these decisions that I'm making, God doesn't care about those. And then you start to ask him, Lord, what do you think about this? And then the Lord starts to reveal himself. Oh, you do care about that? Oh, you do have an opinion on that? Oh, your opinion is the opposite of my opinion on that? Oh. And you know how it goes. People just get together and start talking and say, well, I think this, and I think this other thing, and I think it'd be nice to do this, and oh, well, this, I can't imagine that God would feel this way about this thing. And if you have been in the Bible and reading the Bible like you should and been in church and hearing the preaching and the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness to that, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I know God thinks opposite of that. Because the Bible says this. We better know what God says before we start opening our mouths or we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in trouble. I've had to go to other people that called themselves Christians, and I've had to say, can you do one of two things? One, can you start living like a Christian before you start talking about God? Or two, can you not talk about God? Say, oh, you're in the mood to make friends that day. Well, when you live and talk and say and brag about, and then when it seems convenient, then you talk about the Lord, that doesn't help anything. That hurts things. And so in my attempts to talk about the Lord, and then someone else trying to help me talk about the Lord, I was like, well, this is new. Now I have a battle on two fronts instead of just one. We better know what the Lord says. And then look at this as well, chapter number 3, verse number 4. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, and he said unto me, son of man, go. Get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Now Ezekiel was called to go to his own people, the people of Israel. And he had to go. Say, oh, wait a minute. I thought maybe Ezekiel was like a missionary. No. The Lord said, you're not going to go and speak to a strange people of a strange tongue. You're going to go to your own people that understand you. And I have something for you to say to them. I have a ministry for you. Your go is not to the uttermost parts of the world. Your go is to the people that you know and the people that you live around and the people that speak the same language as you and eat the same food as you. See, a lot of times as a Christian, we think go means, uh-oh, I might as well just roll the dice and God's going to send me to one of these flags. I don't even know what that flag is, but I'm going to end up there eating bugs for the rest of my life. Maybe. Probably not. well, if the Lord says go, that must mean that I have to sell everything and pack up and go be in some place I couldn't point out on a map and just be there and learn some impossible language. I can't do it. I can't do that. Maybe. But more often than not, the go involves something much more local. Much more a go in your life. In your life that you already live. The Lord has something for you to do. Not the Lord has something for you to believe, or the Lord has something for you just to think about, or the Lord has something for you to ponder while you sit on our rear ends. No, the Lord has something for us to do. To do. It doesn't involve fishing. It doesn't involve hunting. It doesn't involve politics. It doesn't involve laying on the couch, although I like to lay on the couch. It doesn't involve that. It involves go. The go for you this morning might be, we've already kind of helped you out, the go this morning might be to the other side of the sanctuary and shake somebody's hand that you don't know. Say, oh, well, that's not what I was thinking. Right. But don't tell me you are more willing to go to one of these flags than you are to go across the auditorium and shake somebody's hand. You know, it's like saying a husband saying, I'd be willing to die for my wife. But yet you're a bum husband that won't love the wife that God's given. He didn't ask you to die for her. He asked you to live and be a good husband. Oh, I'd be willing to go to one of these places if the Lord called me. But you're not willing to like go across the street where you live? You're not willing to go across the church where people are generally friendly and meet somebody and say, hey, I'm glad to have you. I'm sorry I haven't met you before. My name is this. What's your name? I'm glad that we're here together today. The message, it was okay, but glad you're here. The go might be to the person sitting alone on the bench at Walmart and give them a gospel tract. That might be the go. Say, oh, that's not how I was thinking about it. I know. But God has a go for every one of us. The go might be to witness to your own family. Amen. That might be the go. To go give some family members that aren't a fan of the gospel and go say, listen, I love you, and Jesus Christ loves you. Amen. Enough to die for us. That go might mean to go on a missions trip like last Sunday we heard about for Campaigns for Christ. That might be the go. Well, you don't have to go and be a missionary, but there's this opportunity to go and help a missionary. Take some money and take some time and go to be able to give out a bunch of gospel tracts and be a part of something that God's doing. Amen. That might be a go in your life. Say, wow, you're covering like a broad spectrum here. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Why? Because God has a go. He has something for us to do for him. He says to Ezekiel, stand up, Ezekiel. He says, be not afraid. He says, speak my words. He says, go. And you know what? Sometimes it feels like the preacher just ends like right there. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. And you're thinking in your mind, well, how am I supposed to stand on my own? I'm pretty weak. How am I supposed to do that? I'm afraid sometimes. How am I supposed to just not be afraid? Well, don't be afraid. You know, what? Speak my words. I already told you I'm afraid. And now speak my words? Go. That sounds terrifying. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. It's impossible to do that. And although preachers, myself included, sometimes might kind of say some stuff and then leave you hanging, the Lord doesn't do that. No, that's not what the Lord does. The Lord comes to Moses and Moses says, I can't talk good, Lord. And, you know, if you didn't know, that's bad grammar, all right? So it's not good really to throw in grammar jokes into your sermon, but Moses should have said, I can't speak well, right? But Moses is like, I can't speak good. I'm out. The Lord said, don't worry. I know who made your mouth. I did. I can take care of that. Amen. He comes to Jeremiah and he says, well, I'm too young. Jeremiah says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about being young. I can use a young person. He comes to Gideon. You remember him, the famous story of Gideon. He has all these thousands and thousands of soldiers, and God says, these are too many. I want to run some tests here, and we're going to see who really wants to be here. And all of a sudden, Gideon looks around, and there's 300. That Gideon, you know what Gideon said when God came to him? He says, I'm too poor. He says, I'm of the poorest of Israel. You're not going to use me. The Lord said, I don't care if you're poor. I don't need your money anyway. I got plenty of money. The Lord says, I'm not worried about that. I have plenty of resources. I'm not worried about your income status. Ezekiel doesn't say anything. He just gets done with chapter one, seeing these beasts and these things in the throne. He's just laying there on his face, going, whoa. Maybe the Lord will just forget about me and just pass over me now. Because this is starting to get crazy. And sometimes serving the Lord gets crazy. It's fun. I mean, it's fun. Serving the Lord is fun. He can put you in some situations and, man, some things. And you get done and you go, wow, that was exciting. It's not boring. It's not boring to live for the Lord. Ezekiel's just laying there, and the Lord says, all right, come on. Come on, I have something for you to do. God doesn't just give commands and then leave you alone. Say, figure it out. That's not the God we serve. That's, you know what made a difference in all those lives, and Moses and Jeremiah and Gideon and Ezekiel? You know what made a difference in all the lives of the people that we read about in the Scriptures? God. Amen. God. He's the one that made a difference. Look in chapter 2, verse number 2. Let's read verse 1 again. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Look what happens in verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. The Lord says, hey, stand up on your feet. And so, well, I can't do that. And the Lord says, well, all right, then I'll help you stand on your feet. I've asked you to stand. Now watch me. I'll just pick you up and make you stand. We've all seen that with little children, whether our own or someone else's, right? You get little ones and they're crawling around and they're trying to stand up on their own. So you hold them, you know, under their arms and you hold them and they're there and they're kind of bouncing around. And then you're like, okay, you ready? And you let them go and they're like, you know, that's why God gave them diapers, because they're like, you know, you're like, yep. And then you stand them up again. That's what it's like with the Lord and you and I. He says, hey, stand. And you're like, I can't stand for you, Lord. And the Lord says, all right, under the arms we go, stand us on our feet. Why? Because he does it. If he said stand, he will then help you to stand. Look what he does in verse number, chapter 3 and verse number 8. Chapter 3 and verse number 8, he tells Ezekiel, he says, be not afraid. Verse 8, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Be not afraid. So, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. I'll help you with that. The Lord's looking for that first step, and God gives you a strength, and God gives you an ability that is not within yourself. Amen. It is outside of you. Well, you just don't know. You just don't know my personality. Well, I might not, but God does. And God doesn't say, don't be afraid, if he doesn't mean, I can help you not be afraid. Well, I have some things I just can't get over. All right? So you can't get over it. God's the one that's going to have to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? We put all these limitations on ourselves before God and almost blame him for who we are. And God says, no, 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 I'll help you with that. Some men God calls to preach, and they're terrified of being in front of people. That was never me. That was never anything I had to get over. I was always like, hey, how's it going? Stand in front of people and talk? Okay, whatever. That was never a thing for me to have to, that was never a big thing I had to get over. Lots of other things the Lord has had to help me with. That just wasn't one of them. And you know what God does? God calls a man to get up and preach. And you know what he does? He stands up and he preaches. Some of the meekest men that I've met, when they're preaching, are preaching bold as lions. And they get out of the pulpit and they're like timid and shy and don't know what to say when you start a conversation. Say, how does that happen? God does it. Why? Because he will enable and strengthen you to do what he's asked you to do. Look in chapter 3, verse 27. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Well, speak my words, I'm not going to know what to say. Just open your mouth for the Lord. Be a willing vessel where you open your mouth for the Lord, and then all of a sudden you start remembering verses that you didn't know you remembered. And you start, the Lord starts putting things together in the situation of the person you're talking to. And you open your mouth and you find out you would have never known unless you opened your mouth. You have something in common, something that you can end up having a discussion with somebody. Why? Because God says, speak my words. Well, I'm too afraid. And the Lord strengthens you when you make the step and you open your mouth and the Lord gives you the words to say, well, I don't want to mess it up. If I try to witness to someone, I'm going to mess it up. So you're going to someone that's lost, you're going to make them more lost by not giving them a good gospel presentation? That's impossible. You realize that, right? You can't make somebody more lost. But what you can do is let the Lord use your lips to say something. Go. The Lord says, go, Ezekiel. Look in chapter 3, verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. The Lord said, go. And then here is Ezekiel. And the Lord lifts him up and shows him where he's supposed to go and directs him and guides him. You know what Ezekiel had to be thinking by the end of chapter 3? By the end of chapter 1, he's saying, what's going on? The Lord starts to tell him all these things, and Ezekiel's probably thinking, thanks, Lord. You just give me an impossible task. And then by the end of chapter 3, he has to be thinking, this isn't so bad. I was supposed to not be afraid, and all of a sudden the Lord said, all right, I'll help you not be afraid. You're supposed to stand on your feet? All right, I'll help you stand. You're supposed to speak my words? You told me exactly what you wanted me to say. I'm supposed to go? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to do it? And then you just opened the doors and showed me everything that you wanted me to do. This isn't bad. That's what Ezekiel had to be thinking. But you know what Ezekiel was? Ezekiel was someone that was willing to be used of God. He was willing to let the Lord use him. And that's what makes all the difference. The difference isn't who you are as a person. The difference isn't what God is able to do with you. The difference is people that are willing to be used. You know what the Lord's looking for this morning? The Lord's looking for some individuals that say, Lord, this sounds impossible, but I'm willing to have you set me on my feet. Lord, I'm willing to have you help me not be afraid. Amen. Lord, I'm willing to allow you to use my voice to speak to someone if you'll just give me the words. Lord, I'm willing to go across the room, or I'm not keen on it, but maybe further, if you want. Right? God's not asking for someone always to come down and like surrender themselves to the utmost. He's looking for someone willing to surrender themselves for today and again tomorrow. And say, Lord, what would you want me to do? What would you have for me to do, Lord? When I surrendered my will to the Lord's when I was 17 years old. I didn't surrender to move my family and my children to Washington. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know that was a thing. All right? And I didn't know that I was going to stop in Florida and in New York before Washington. But I just wanted to say, Lord, whatever with this that you can do, you obviously are a miracle worker. So if you want to accomplish anything, you're going to have to do miracles. But here, and you know what it takes from then? It takes the next day saying, okay, Lord, it's me again. I'm willing, Lord. And then the next day, Lord, I'm willing. There's had to have been a lot of submission unto the Lord since I was 17 to now, 45. There's had to be a lot of, okay, Lord, what do you want? That's what the Lord's looking for. Someone this morning that's willing to bow their hearts and bow their heads and say, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever that means, I'm ready to buckle up, put the seatbelt on, and go for the ride of this life of being a Christian. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.